us on a beautiful Tuesday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to John Curley, Sherry Ellico Show. Wow, look at everybody riding. Teeny Tiny, she is, you all right, Teeny?
Hello!
There she is. Okay. Jacob, I really do appreciate that the two of you hang out together, that it's more than just a work relationship. Just, you know, thank you for that. Thank you.
Okay.
We did a FaceTime yesterday. No. She was on FaceTime yesterday, Jacob, myself, and Teeny. It was really kind of fun to see all, just kind of, it was virtual, but still, you could feel the love. Diving into the door. Alrighty. Well, Budweiser, Bud Light, Anheuser is still bleeding badly. In fact, they have until September. And then if they are not able to increase their sales, which have dropped more than 28% or somewhere in there, they will lose shelf space. Retailers are being told that this space, or retailers are telling Anheuser-Busch that if we're not you're not selling more, you're going to lose the space, right? You got to have to take a certain amount of square footage in each one of these stores, and we're just going to put products in that are selling. More room for Coors Light, more room for, I guess, Modelo will probably take more of that. Corona will take more space as well. So they're doing absolutely everything they possibly can to reverse the bleeding and the boycott, which has taken place for Bud Light. And now, because it's Father's Day coming up, they decide they're going to put together the latest commercial. We remember the one just before this failed miserably. It was a bunch of horses. There was their Clydesdale running around America. America, where a beer is more than a beer. You know, whatever they came up with. Some
it's called
crap,
Shared
right?
Spirit.
Yes. Okay. So now this one is, it's Father's Day. So we're going to have, oh, Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad. In this picture,
I'm trying to playing with my dad. He taught me everything. When I was down, he lifted me up. And his belief in me taught me to believe in myself.
Father's Day gift for senior.
And that, that meant everything.
Cheers.
There you go. Great video. Ken Griffey and his dad, same team. And then Ken running over to his father was in the stands. You know, this is going to make people buy a Budweiser. They're not drinking Bud Light. They're drinking Bud, right? The thing is, if you like light beer, you have a couple of choices. And they all basically taste about the same. Bud Light, Coors Light, Corona Light. But the people were just reaching for something other than Bud Light. And it's still the case. I was out there on the Memorial Day weekend, Safeway in Cle Elum, Sherry. And there they all were. There was all the Bud Light sitting there. And all the other parts of the shelves were completely empty. So.
Well, apparently this commercial, you know, is under a lot of scrutiny. So OutKick has some of the comments that people made after seeing it. One is, my father identifies as my mother, so he gets Father's Day and Mother's Day. Not even the iconic Griffey's can save this woke product. It says, you're really trying to smooth this over. Ha, ha, ha. I'll never drink Bud again. It's not a boycott. It's an official divorce. Never drinking this product or anything owned by this company again. So people are not, don't seem to be responding. They seem to, and it's going to come down to, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be that people are holding their positions or it's just that they've already moved on to a different product. And they don't want to go back. You know, I mean, that's the thing is once you lose somebody, beer drinkers are pretty loyal.
Well, they're loyal if there's something else, right? So, oh, I really like a really great IPA or like a really hoppy, whatever, you know, and they get into more custom beers and, you know, smaller brewers and stuff, and they have a more sophisticated taste. But a light beer is a light beer is a light beer. You drink it while you're fixing the lawnmower. You drink it while you're, you know, whatever, you're out doing something, playing softball. But it's just the light beer. And if you can easily exchange it for something else, you will.
because you don't want to support Bud Light. Target is also bleeding heavily because of what they had done in the last couple of months and weeks when they decided they would launch all their Pride apparel. And now people have dug in and found out that Target also sent a bunch of money to this group called, I think it's NDN. It's an organization for indigenous people in indigenous land, and they are the ones advocating for the removal, or I don't know what how you would get rid of it, Mount Rushmore. So now they're tying that group to Target, to the money that Target gave to them. So now you're able to splatter them with Mount Rushmore mess, and Target also lost, I forget how much of its market cap share, and it's also having problems. People have just said, listen, the problem for those, and I had this argument with Nick the other day, the woman that they hired as the vice president of marketing, and they really prided themselves, the first time we've ever had a female as our vice president of marketing, and then they had the other people, those people don't understand who the beer drinkers were. They come from the they've been institutional thinking, group thought from colleges, and then all of a sudden they're into the real world, and once they're into the real world, there is no such thing as a safe space. And you have people with diversity of ideas, and all of a sudden in the real world, it comes and kicks them in the chops, right? And there's no education, the second kick of the mule, so that woman, the first VP of Anheuser-Busch in marketing, she now doesn't have a job. She's on, what, administrative leave or something like that? And the other guy's gone as well. So they've had a chance after they came from, you know, the Ivy Towers, and the groupthink world, the DEI folks, and all of that woke stuff pushed into their skulls in elite colleges. Now they're out in the real world and they're like, ooh, I guess no one else thinks this way. So I predict that Bud Light just goes away. I don't believe they can possibly fix it.
No, you may way. Be right about that.
Not gonna switch back. Why switch back? There's no way that they can fix it. They can't apologize enough. They will never apologize. Because what are they apologizing for? Because then they'll get it from the people on the left. So they're just gonna simply just quietly have that one just disappear.
I think the only thing that might be a Hail Mary pass is if they could get a celebrity so big and so universal that everybody would go, you know, if that person thinks it's okay, maybe I'll hop back on board. But really, there doesn't exist. There, no one exists like that anymore, right? That everybody can relate to, whether it's, you know, millennials to, you know, people that are boomers to whatever. I mean, there's just nobody out there that could be that, attract that many people probably. But I think that
right.
could
or
help.
Willing to take that kind of risk or take
yeah,
that
true.
Risk.
Because
like,
then you get
what do I
Bud
get
Light
out of that? Yeah. What right? Why do I want to save Bud Light? I'm not going to risk, you know, whoever that celebrity is, Betty White or Dolly Parton or you know some country western singer or some, you know, somebody that's on the right, right? And then all of a sudden they're drinking a Bud Light. Why would they do that? They don't want to save them.
Money.
So, right.
If they threw enough
yeah.
money at them.
Nope. R.I.P. Goodbye. Goodbye. Okay. Goodbye, Bud Light. Christie's back in it. He could have won. Chris Christie could have won, I think, in 2012. He could have won somewhere in there. But after the whole Bridgegate thing, and then he was seen as sort of a little like Trump-esque, the way he would talk to people. He kind of made fun of Mark Rubio one time, saying, you're so robotic the way you answer questions. That was one of his takes on the debate stage. People are like, oh, yeah, Chris Christie. I like him. He's a Republican in a really Democratic state. He did pretty good things from New Jersey while he was in there. So he's decided he's going to run again, and now here comes Chris Christie.
I'm not just talking about the leadership of my own party. I'm talking about the leadership of both parties. Barack Obama made us smaller by dividing us and trying to make sure that his party was divided into smaller pieces so that he could lead the small pieces that he wanted to. And Donald Trump made us smaller by dividing us even further and pitting one group against another, different groups pitted against different groups every day. And by definition, making those groups smaller. Because even when you're talking to those small groups, you're going to say something that offends them. And the leader, instead of trying to bring people together, says, it's okay to leave. It's okay to go. Move to another group that you agree with even more, which by definition will be even smaller.
Yeah, that is the key. Break them up into chunks. Pit one against another. And, you know, Biden talked about how he was a uniter. That was his big speech that he gave. And then less than 15 minutes after being sworn in, he goes out and fires the unprecedented, fires the president of the national, or the lawyer that's in charge of National Labor Relations Board, and then begins to do all sorts of executive orders to separate people into smaller groups. So we'll see if Chris Christie can possibly bring people together. He's going to have to separate himself from Donald Trump. And then now the field's getting crowded, right? Starting to fill up.
I mean, Chris Sununu decided that he was not going to run. Mike Pence entered the race. Chris Christie thinks that he can take on Trump and he could also appeal to independents. He was a close advisor to Trump and he even participated in these mock debates back in 2020. But apparently he claims that Trump had COVID during the 2020 debates. And gave it to Chris Christie because he had tested positive and didn't tell anybody during the rehearsals for this. So I don't know if that's at the, if that's the root cause of the animosity between the two of them or not, but that's the latest thing is you gave me COVID. So.
Jeez.
Just real quick, Chris Christie started his announcement at 3:30, I believe, or it was supposed to start. He is still speaking right now, actually.
Really?
Or he may be, I think he's actually taking questions from the audience right now, but his event is still, was being broadcast for some time. Both the cable news, CNN and Fox, gave up on it, anyway.
We didn't take it live?
We did not, no.
I was going to look and see if we still have a channel here.
No.
All right, go ahead, punch it up for a second.
No, I don't know if we have it yet. I don't think.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Like, I'm looking at CVS's advisory here. I don't see anything.
Everybody's all excited. Okay. Well, if you do find it, Chris Christie in his long. Oh, what?
He or she'll make all the decisions, and then we won't have to ever worry about compromising. We may get trampled, but we won't have to worry about compromising, thank God. Hey, look, are there things that I would have done differently? Sure. Sure, there's some things I might have done differently. But I'm not going to trash Kevin McCarthy over this. He had a responsibility. Let's remember what the debt ceiling is, everybody. It's not future spending. It's money we already spent. Are we going to pay the bills we already ran up? And I'll tell you, a great Donald Trump aside on this. When I became governor of New Jersey, we had an $11 billion deficit on a $29 billion budget. And we had pension and benefit debt of over $300 billion.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. That's, thank you very much. We now have an audience deficit.
I finally found it. CBS did give up on it.
Whoa. Okay, fine. Tim Scott was on The View, and it's nice to know that he can get...
No, but do you think Disney's radical left?
Well, I think Disney and Ronnie had been in a combat zone for a number of months over what I thought was the right issue as it relates to our young kids and what they're being indoctrinated with. I thought he started off on the right foot on that issue.
It is 100%. I'm sorry, sir. Do not boo. This is The View. We accept we don't have to believe everything people say, but you cannot boo people here, please. You cannot do it. Please continue.
The panelists can boo and make fun of him, but the audience, no. And that's the second time Whoopi's had to say something because when Chris Sununu was on there, also the same sort of thing, talking about guns.
No, I'm not banning any guns. I'm going to provide access to mental health. We're going to get at the core of the issue, which is what spurs a lot of the violence.
This is where, listen to how Whoopi, it tells him don't boo, but then listen to this little part about how you think.
All over the world.
Stop. No. No, no booing.
No Republican will ever come back here if you're going
to boo. We need to talk to people to find out.
Listen, we need to talk to people to find out.
What they're thinking and are they thinking in the right way? He's not.
Right. We'll be the judge of that. Thank you. The audience don't judge this.
Oh, they think
we'll
in
judge
the right
it.
Way.
We'll be perfect. None of them are. But at least give people the opportunity to say what's going on.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Yeah, Whoopi. Whoopi. Sherry?
Well, I mean, you know, they're hypocrites. And, you know, Tim Scott, I mean, come on. Let's face it. And wait a minute. I thought there was a no view rule from you.
We do have a no view rule. It's when they're making political comments, when they're saying it. But when people are coming on there, Tim Scott gets on there to say it's the booing part, just the boo. And they ripped him up. I made so many comments about Tim Scott when he announced the week before. I don't play any of that stuff. Just him screaming and yelling at one another. I will say, I met Whoopi when I did Hollywood Squares. Did I mention I was on Hollywood Squares, Jacob? And she was center square. I want to thank Whoopi because she helped me win a whole bunch of money. Also, she carried Charlie around when we had Charlie's little teeny tiny baby. She carried Charlie around the entire show. Like every time she goes, hold on, someone take Charlie. And she goes, and then she'd walk back up and, you know, sit in the center square. And then, you know, we'd take a break in between games. Where's Charlie? And then she'd get Charlie, just walk around with Charlie the whole time. And then when we left, I said, oh, Charlie smells so good. And we'd pass Charlie back and forth because Charlie smelled like Whoopi. And Whoopi had this like really nice sort of natural kind of, it had a kind of a leathery tobacco, orangey, lemony sort of, it's great. We're like, oh, and then we'd be on the plane. Does Charlie still smell like Whoopi? And we're like, oh, wow, that's the best Charlie's ever smelled.
Why didn't you say, hey, Whoopi, what are you wearing? You smell great. I'd like to put it on Charlie for the rest of her life.
I didn't know how great she smelled until she handed me my baby. How many times you said that in life?
I was going to say that's one for the books. I didn't know how great she smelled till she handed me my baby. That says it all.
Yeah, a sentence that's perhaps never been spoken before. Does Charlie tell this story with as much? I mean, maybe she wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah. She had other things going on, like suckling and pooping, things like that. All right. You know, babies are. They're so just focused on themselves.
Right, but it's a good story for her to tell now. I mean, for her to say, hey, when I was a baby.
Right. Whoopi Goldberg.
You wouldn't believe. Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg fell in love with me.
I used to go on the mountain and do an imitation of Whoopi Goldberg. I always come on as Whoopi Goldberg, but I guess not here on Cairo, even though it's a drop dead great imitation of Whoopi Goldberg. I'm sure Jacob's like, we're not comfortable with your Whoopi Goldberg imitation. I did it during the pre-show. How'd it sound?
Yeah, I liked it.
Thank you.
Ben.
Yeah.
I thought it was her. I thought she had gone, that you were surprising us, and she'd come on the show.
Yeah, the idea of no view comments, but Whoopi will come on our show. Hot take. Homemade sound hot take. Way to go, Sherry.
Thank you.
Let's all take turns doing hot take sounds. Go, you go now, Jacob.
Boosh. Interesting. You're just going to... Okay, yeah, good.
Bucky's Auto Service.
Taking turns, yeah.
Oh, that was a setup. Locations.
Andrew could have done better by taking the sound out, making it even more awkward. Bucky's Auto Service Center, 53 locations have been around. I'm sorry, 16 locations have been around for 53 years. That's the place to take that car of yours. All right. You know, it's so weird. You'd find one story, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, look at that. There's another similar story to it. I don't know why, but we're finding sound from different shows, TV shows and radio shows, where the hosts suddenly have breakdowns. Maybe we're foreshadowing something here. This is a Australian radio host, Robin Bailey, breaks down on the air when asked to do some cooking. She's going to do and she's not a good cook, right?
No, she's asked to do something. It's a segment, which we could do, called Robin Can't Cook. And so what she's been asked to do is prepare a 3-course meal at this very nice hotel, the Normandy Hotel. This is in Brisbane, Australia.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they had a guest on, like a chef, and he starts to ask her about it, and she just falls apart.
Okay. I can't do it, mate. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's bullshit.
Oh, Robin.
Mate, you've seen me melt down. You saw me melt down in my own kitchen. I can't do it.
Robin, you need to believe that you can do it. And really, you can. You've got You've got support. You've got support.
No, I don't. Everyone wants me to fail, mate.
That's not true. That's not true.
That isn't true at all.
They've only named the segment Robin Can't Cook.
Right.
God. So yeah. She leaves for like 20 minutes. She walks away, mate.
That's yeah, she comes back again.
Can I just
I'll tell you a little story, right? Okay, I'm doing Dancing with the Stars at the moment. I am such a bad dancer that when my kids, I said to my kids, "Do you want to do the show?" They said, "You got to do it, Dad. It'll be really funny if you're a terrible dancer." So it's like, okay, and you know what we're talking about here? We're talking about Little Everest. No one is expecting you to go in there and knock out a meal like Ben Williamson. It's about going in there and having little wins. Once those garlic mushrooms are done, yeah. It's easy. You're gonna taste them. You trust yourself. But it's really impressive and it's very brave of you to do this. You're going into an area where you're scared, where you don't think you've got the ability. But honestly, Robin, I think you can do it. I genuinely believe that you can do it.
So
ironic, on this day we played sound of a guy storming the beaches of Normandy, right? People dying all around. And he was able to push on and have courage. And this woman's having trouble with garlic mushrooms. But then, the second part of the story, you have it, right, Sherry?
Yeah. So, apparently she's got a kind of tragic backstory, which is she had two husbands die. The one died of suicide, and then her next husband died of liver cancer. And so what she said was she thinks somehow maybe she projected some of her grief, some of the anguish about these deaths, even though they happened a while ago, ended this segment and she just kind of fell apart. Her co-host took issue with the fact that she said, look, everybody wants me to fail. And they were like, no, we don't. We aren't like that. That's not what we want to do. We just want to have fun. And that's what they said.
I guess they kick people out or hosts walk out on shows. Here's a guy, a British talk show host, Andre Walker, and Jacob still can't figure out the dress code on this show. They're talking to this TikToker named Mizzy who does these pranks. It's really sort of stupid stuff. He'll just walk up to somebody. He's videotaping it, and he just walks up to this old lady and just steals her dog and runs away. And brings the dog back, but it's, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. Or just walks into somebody's house and walks around the house, and then they freak out. Or some guy standing at a bus stop, he tries to jump over the person. He calls himself a prankster, but it's more about he's scaring people in order to make money on TikTok.
Mizzy, I've got a question for you. So I know you spoke a lot about social media and how that's impacted you and that you want to sort of get a lot of this attention on social media yourself. Do you think that you doing this on social media will encourage other people to commit crimes that potentially could cause a lot of damage? And by damage, I mean it could cause somebody to, be incredibly injured or something like that. Do you think you've encouraged that kind of behavior? And it's not answering the question. Do you think...
He's just staring at
him. I don't understand this whole
thing. Do you want to be like...
Hang on a second. You can do that to me. You're not doing it to a guest. You've stoned another guest again, and I'm going to personally remove you. I'm not taking the mic. You blurred at her in a threatening fashion. You do that, I'll drag you out by the hair, and you can be as hard as you pretend you are.
It's hard to imagine this man, fairly softic guy, with a very tiny bow tie on, glasses and bald. He's going to grab this guy and drag him out.
You apologize to her right now, or you're leaving.
We are respecting you, but I'm done.
Good riddance to bad rubbish. Threatening guest does...
I like that.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
This will happen on my show under any circumstances. Reem, I'm very sorry, but the way he glared at you is not acceptable. We never should have had him on the show. I didn't even want him here. I think the guy's a complete and total fool. And the fact that I attempted to have a sensible interview with an idiot like that is absolutely disgusting. Get the security from downstairs and get rid of...
I like the fact security is downstairs. Get the security from downstairs.
This is so fake.
Upstairs. Whoa, Jacob, hot take sound. Hey, you're really getting better at that, Jacob. That sounded real. You think it's fake?
I do. And Mizzy, the guy that he was interviewing, said this. It's all part of the game. Look at how calm Rima Ibrahim was. That's the woman that he was, you know, staring at. Yeah. Even smiling while I was giving her eye contact. The only guy that overreacted was Mr. Andre Walker and his little. Hang on. His little escort next to him was just looking confused, like she didn't know what's going on. His reaction was so over the top. I mean, it was just
fun. Get rid of him, for Christ's sake.
Do you know what? He's get rid of him. He's angry.
I like the sound quality, too. You're able to EQ everything out of it. I'd like to apologize to every dog within a 25-mile radius of that sound. That was very tinny. But I watched the guy, Mizzy, being interviewed by Piers Morgan, and he didn't kick him out, but it was still, you know, contentious, Sherry.
Well, maybe he had him on so he could get the publicity for kicking him out.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
So cynical.
So cynical.
About the people that dress like they're going to prom for every show, it seems like. I don't understand.
Yeah. I understand it either, yeah.
I'm not sure that's a prom she's going to.
Okay.
Sundown, you better take it. Okay. I was reading about Gordon Lightfoot, and that song, Sundown, is about prostitutes. That's, you know, that's
all. Oh, okay. Well, okay. You said that, not me. Okay.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The theme of this show. All right. Is that it? Is that all we got from British?
That's it. We wrestled that one to the ground. Yes.
Beat the hell out of it. And Sherry had a hot take on it. All right. There we go. Good. Let's see. Set the story up. We're going to do at the top of the hour. So Sammamish City Council or Sammamish Planning Commission has a meeting on June 1st. And I think it's 2 hours and something. You can watch it on. More than 3,500 people have watched this thing already on YouTube, as I'm sure people have already seen the story about it. And so they're talking about, you know, there's normal stuff planning commissions talk about, you know, future plans and fiscal and all that other stuff that goes into it. And one of the people on the planning commission said that I guess they went through a diversity training, one of those seminars or something a week earlier. Just guessing on that, where the date of it is. And he asked to speak at the end. Can I say something at the end? Is it possible I could make a comment as like a public comment, right? Because normally at these meetings, not at the planning commission, but sometimes they'll have public comments, 3 minutes long. Five if you're representing a group. So he says, can I make a comment, like a public comment, not as a planning commissioner, but as a citizen of Sammamish? They say, well, it's not on the agenda, but they look around. Is that okay? And that's fine. We'll do that at the end. We'll do that at the very end. So they take care of the entire meeting. And then they get to this gentleman that's seated all the way down to the end, right there. And he then makes a statement, which is about, I think, 2.5 to 3 minutes long. And when he finishes, the planning commission ends its meeting, and now he has been forced to resign. And King Phi picked it up, and other people are now talking about it. And it's interesting because I watched the entirety of what he was saying, and from the beginning all the way through, and he makes a fairly cogent argument as to his beliefs, and he is a devout Muslim, and he even reads from the Quran. He quotes directly from the Quran, and he explains, you know, his view of the world. And then he starts to talk about LGBTQ and Pride Month. And that's when people are like, we can't have that. So he has been, I assume, forced to resign. Have they added anything new to her? Has he said anything? Did you try to get him on the air, Jacob?
I have reached out to him, but he has not responded yet. No.
Okay. All right. So you're going to cut, because what I watched on the King Five part, I saw the two or three comments that he had made where they cut the story down so that, you know, and then they went and talked to somebody from the gay community about their reactions to it. So we'll take that at the top of the hour. But it's interesting that he's giving his personal comments on something. But since he's sitting on the planning commission, then he represents, I guess, people that are on the commission. And, you know, they don't want that point of view to be expressed. So it was, it's a real clash of religion, ideology, and now cultures. So did you get a chance to watch his entire comment, Sherry?
I didn't watch the – I watched certainly the piece on King 5, but it the Seattle Pride and East Side Pride persons say that they were actually, Noah Wagner, who's Seattle Pride and East Side Pride person, said that the comments were disgusting and traumatic, and they are hate speech.
Yeah.
Okay. So – I mean, you know, I don't know. Do you think it matters that he asked to make these comments as an individual versus a commissioner? Therefore, he should somehow not be held to account in that way?
No, because you really can't separate the two things, because right. You're sitting there on at the dais, right? I think the one thing that people are really sort of focusing on was he talks about disease, infection and disease,
yeah.
And infestation. And I think he's talking about an ideology that he feels is corrupting the minds of the youth. I don't think he's talking about a physical, biological disease, but we'll play it for you. You can hear mm-hmm. it and then the reactions as well. And, of course, you're always writing to us at mynorthwest.com, texting as well, 1-888-973-5476. Teeny Tiny, she is... I can tell when she's serious, Sherry, because she gets that look on her face. She didn't even look at me. She's not even looking at me. She just holds on to that potato, and she takes little bites out of it, little tiny teeth, and then she doesn't realize you cook them ahead of time, but that's okay.